He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the, what is it, the 414? It is April the 14th. Ooh, isn't tomorrow tax day? Oh, don't forget to get your taxes filed on time or get that extension. Otherwise, they'll come get you. We've got the S&P down 7.5 points today. Definitely got a negative drift lower here after opening in the green, but now we're down 7.5. We're at 2,084 on the S&P 500. We have the Dow minus about 60 right now. 17,917. The NASDAQ is down 32 points. The NASDAQ, that's 0.6%. That's a pretty big wallop there to the NASDAQ. It's at 4,955. Crude oil, $52.63. Well, there's a bright spot. At least oil is holding on to that $50 level right now at 52.63. Gold, which hit 1200 yesterday, is back down under 1200 today. It's at 1192. The euro is at 1.067. The dollar continues to rise against the euro, and that's one of the reasons why you saw the IMF cut global growth forecast on the U.S. today. And that's one of the reasons the market's down. We also have the 10-year yield down at 1.87% right now. The bond market likes when global forecasts are cut because you get more people going into the bond market, and that fear of that hike in interest rates abates for a while. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, the earnings season is now in force. We had one last week, and now we've had several so far this week. We'll go through some of those. I updated my numbers once again yesterday on the S&P 500. Those 500 companies that make up that index that so many use as a benchmark around the world. Meanwhile, the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, is cutting their forecast for the U.S. for 2015, which should come as no surprise. In fact, if anything, they're just a little bit late to the game, and they're citing two reasons that I've been citing for the last several weeks, and most economists, I'm not an economist, but most market pundits have been citing, that is lower oil prices and a very strong dollar right now, and that's affecting U.S. growth. You remember when oil prices first started to drop, and a lot of us, including myself, said, you know, that's a benefit to the U.S. economy. There's going to be more companies that benefit from the consumer having extra money, extra change in their pockets than from the oil companies, which obviously it's not a benefit to have lower oil prices. That's the commodity that they sell. How would you like to sell a product that all of a sudden on the world markets got cut in half? You've got to rein in your cost very quickly, don't you? Well, that has caused the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, to lower their forecast on U.S. growth for 2015. And we've talked at length about these two quarters. This quarter that we're now in and the quarter that just ended, we're hoping that this will have a temporary impact on the U.S. economy. So lowering those growth estimates comes as a result of those two factors. Retail sales this past week have come in a little bit softer than expected. And that's a surprise because in the a month ago, they were all blaming the weather. Well, the weather's improved. So we were hoping for a big bounce here in this current retail sales forecast. We didn't get the bounce that we expected. We were expecting a 1.2% rise. We only got 0.9. Now, I don't know. You can't blame high oil prices for that one, can you? And you can't blame a strong U.S. dollar for that one either. Should have had no impact on the consumer that goes out and buys retail products, but it did. Well, for some reason, the consumer wasn't as strong as expected, which is not a good thing. Another reason why we're seeing a little downward draft to the market here recently. We've had J.P. Morgan report earnings, member of the Dow, member of the S&P 500. We've had J.B. Hunt, a trucking company, report earnings. We've had Johnson & Johnson report earnings now. We've had Wells Fargo report earnings. And guess what? So far, they've all beat their forecast. Okay, well, that's a good thing. No sign yet that we won't make the numbers on this current quarter, which is expected to be down from the last quarter, the same exact quarter, the same comparable quarter last year. So far, so good. If I remember right, Alcoa beat a little bit, but we'll start to get more and more. Some of those the NASDAQ stocks, some of those high growth stocks will begin reporting here soon. And every day it will become more and more in focus just as to what the damage of low oil prices and a very strong U.S. dollar have done to the earnings picture here in the United States of America. The bright spot still seems to be the drug stocks. Look at this statistic from today. U.S. spending for prescription drugs is up 13% over last year. Well, there's one of the growth areas of the economy, right? While spending in other areas has dropped year over year, more and more consumer money, more and more consumer discretionary. Is it discretionary? Is it consumer staple now, prescription drugs? Up 13% over last year. It seems we're taking more and more prescription drugs all of the time. And you know what? The app, the Best Stocks Now app didn't know that statistic. That's all the Best Stocks Now app knows is that the pharmaceutical stocks and the biotech stocks have been number one and number two sectors now for I don't know how many months in a row, probably a couple of years now. Oh, they've had a temporary drop from their leadership, but it was temporary and they roared right back and assumed leadership role. The app didn't know those statistics. It's all it knows is that as a sector, XPH, the pharmaceutical sector, an ETF that tracks the pharmaceuticals, and IBB, the biotech sector, have been the strongest sectors in the marketplace. And what's the reason? Sales of prescription drugs up 13% year over year. You see that correlation there? When your sales are up 13%, generally speaking, your earnings are up 13%. How many sectors in America do you think the fast food sector is growing by 13% a year? Our waistlines maybe are, but I don't know about the fast food sales. They've probably leveled off. Do you think, leisure spending of the movie theaters is up 13%? That's double-digit growth. That's pretty significant. And as a result, you've seen companies like Actavis, companies like Mallinckrodt, companies like Biogen, companies like Gilead Sciences just sizzle and be some of the best performing stocks in the entire market. Well, we're developing a lot of new prescription drugs for advanced diseases. We're developing new drugs for multiple sclerosis. We're developing new drugs for muscular dystrophy. We're developing new drugs for all kinds of maladies, hepatitis, AIDS, cancer. So there's a lot more drugs in the mix, which is also helping those two sectors, the pharmaceutical sector and the biotech sector. But the bottom line is this. Earnings growth translates to stock price appreciation. And when earnings are growing at companies, like the drug companies, like the pharmaceuticals, then their stock price is going to appreciate right along with that earnings growth. So obviously the key is to find sectors of the economy, find indexes in the world, and find individual companies who have earnings growth, and you can still buy it at a reasonable price. Well, when we come back, we're going to put a couple of stocks under the Gunderson microscope and the Gunderson laboratories here in San Diego, California, and see if they come out the other end of this examination as a best stock now or not. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, if the drug spending, the prescription drug spending by Americans is up 13% over last year, you would think that most of the drug stocks would be benefiting from that. And there's one in the news here this week coming in with earnings reports. Let's take a look. Let's put it under the microscope. This will be a nice lesson for how to analyze a stock. You know, we stumble upon stocks in all kinds of different ways. We might read an article about it. We might hear it mentioned on TV. A friend might mention it to us. It may come up in a screen that we do on the market. All kinds of ways that ideas come to us, right? We're bombarded with ideas. Maybe a newsletter. Maybe a radio show. You have to have a way to filter through those ideas. It's not good enough to just hear it for yourself and go out and buy it without having some kind of filter, some kind of process of your own to judge that stock by. You know, I get asked, do you use cash flow analysis in your analysis? Do you use look at the debt to equity ratio? Do you look at the current ratio? Do you look at return on equity? Do you look at profit margin? And my answer to that is I focus on earnings. I'm an earnings-based guy. I look at the earnings of a company, the direction of those earnings, and how much those earnings are worth. That's to me is the tangible, that's the bottom line, right? After all is said and done, here's what's left over. And is what's left over going up, going down, about the same? That has a major impact. So let's just take one stock here today and put it under the microscope, one that you've heard of, one that is in numerous portfolios across America. One that a lot of the wirehouse firms, very popular stock with the wirehouse firms. Nobody's going to say no to Johnson & Johnson. I mean, if you're kind of just have a little bit of knowledge of the stock market and a broker or a money manager says to you, I think we ought to have some Johnson & Johnson in your portfolio. Well, that's a name you're familiar with. That sounds good. Why not? But if you put it under just a basic microscope, it may not be as good as you think it is. All right, if we look at Johnson & Johnson over the last 5 years, which is kind of a cycle. That's why we use 5 years in the market. Kind of represents a cycle, an economic cycle for the economy, for a business, etc. If we look at over the past 5 years, Johnson & Johnson has grown their earnings year over year, compounded out over the last 5 years. They've grown their earnings at a rate of 5% per year. Now, all things being equal, a 10% grower should have done a lot better than a 5% grower. In addition to this earnings growth, Johnson & Johnson also pays a pretty hefty dividend. A dividend of 2.8%. So all things being equal, over the last 5 years, the stock should have averaged about 5% plus the dividend, maybe about 8% per year. And as I look at the five-year returns of Johnson & Johnson, it's come in right about where the markets come in. The S&P 500 over the last 5 years has delivered 11.8% per year. Johnson & Johnson has delivered just a little bit better than that, 12.5%. So it's become pretty much a market performer these days. But wait a minute, it's gotten even worse than that here recently. Johnson & Johnson's growth this year is expected to be just 3% over last year. And Johnson & Johnson's year next year is expected to be up just 5%. I mean, we're in a very low single-digit growth stock here. This is not a growth stock anymore. It's one that's just barely keeping its head above water. It's now a $280 billion company. It's still profitable. They're not going anywhere. But they're really not growing anymore. would seem to me that if the company wants to get some growth going again and someday grow up to be the size of Apple, which is a $700 billion company, they're going to have to make some acquisitions along the way. I don't know. How else are they going to grow? They're not going to do it organically because their organic growth right now is low single digits. This quarter that they just reported, their sales were actually down from this same time last year, and their earnings were only up 2%. Well, investing's also about the future, so let's just take a look at the future expectations from Johnson & Johnson. The analysts expect that over the next 5 years, that they'll be able to grow their earnings by about 6% per year, which is probably a little bit on the optimistic side, given the fact that they've only been growing by 5% over the last 5 years. So this is now a very low growth company. And if we take next year's earnings estimates of $6.47, we extrapolate them out at 5 to 6% over the last 5 years, and we put a multiple on those shares that I think is appropriate, I come up with about $154 target price. The stock's currently trading at $100. It has 54% upside potential plus the dividend. It gets a value grade of C- right now. I don't see a lot of upside potential. In fact, that value grade of C- would suggest that going forward, the stock should underperform as it relates to capital appreciation, the S&P 500. In addition to this, the performance numbers are just so-so. I mean, the performance grade is a B-. The momentum grade is a C. So you have a very average stock here. I'm not going to talk anybody out of selling their Johnson & Johnson. It feels good somehow having it in the portfolio and looking at that name. Look, I own Johnson & Johnson. I own a piece of Johnson & Johnson. And when you go to the supermarket and pick up some Q-tips or some baby shampoo, you say, gee, I own a piece of the company that makes these great products. But really and truly, the stock's been a pretty mediocre performer. It's grown so big, it's not at the prime of its life anymore. It's become a very mature stock, and it's very difficult to continue growing this company at any kind of a decent rate. Out of 4,071 stocks, ETFs, mutual funds in my database, Johnson & Johnson comes in at number 2,000. And 88. Just mediocre. I'm not going to talk you out of your Johnson & Johnson stock, especially if you've owned it for a long time and you got a nice capital gain and whatnot. You know, it's going to continue to do its thing. It's going to pay its dividend, and it's going to probably go up by 4 or 5% a year plus the dividend. What's wrong with that? That's all I would say is I think you can do better. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home, and then a shelter, and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot, the next day they are not. High tech is down, low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets. Not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. pwstreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to, and the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son, and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out, and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe." Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, you know, global growth slowing down a little bit, particularly in the U.S., but it seems to be perking up elsewhere. Europe starting to perk up a little bit. Quantitative easing and a very strong U.S. dollar and a very weak euro are helping Europe right now. And I continue to look to add a little bit of exposure here and there. I still am not able to find any individual stocks that I really like that are European-based. Oh, a few here and there. I think for the most part, you're better off buying an ETF or a mutual fund that maybe buys European small caps, a lot of stocks that are very difficult to buy here in the U.S. on an individual basis. And that's how I've handled it in my ETF account, which is really having a good year. The ETF account, you can look it up in my newsletter, just how it's doing. It has about seven or eight ETFs in it. Some of them are leveraged ETFs. I publish that every week in my newsletter, which you can get a four-week trial to by going to my website at pwstreet.com. But I think that's probably the best way right now to get exposure to Europe. As I look at a lot of the European companies like the UBSs of the world and the Barclays banks and others, some of the German companies, SAP, they're not doing that great. They're just not looking very good. But some of the lesser known small caps that are difficult to buy here in the U.S., well, they look a lot better to me. And that's where my interest lies right now in Europe. The U.S., hopefully this slowdown is temporary. And hopefully the U.S. economy is not grinding to a halt here. Because you know what that will mean, and I continue to emphasize this point. If the U.S. has topped out, if we saw the top in earnings last year and maybe this year at about $120 per share on the S&P 500, remember that's up from $59 per share back in 2009. Earnings have been growing every single year, and the stock market's been following right along, hasn't it? But when those earnings start to top out on the S&P 500, when growth is over and they start to decline, then more than likely the bull market is over, which has been going now for 6 years and 1 month. And we've been in it all the way, and I'm not a guy who believes in being invested in the market at all times. I'm not a perma-bull. I'm not an index investor. I'm not a buy-and-hold kind of guy. I'm not an asset allocation kind of guy. I like to move. When the fish move, I like to move with them. And if it gets snotty out there, I'm not going to even venture out. I'm going to stay in the harbor and maybe invest in some of those guys in an inverse way that do venture out of the harbor. Bet against them, I guess. That's a kind of a mean thing to say, but that's what you're doing. You're saying, hey, the financials are in trouble right now. I'm going to invest in an inverse position on the financials, or in the technology stocks, or in the cyclicals, or in the index itself, whatever. That time hasn't come yet, however. There's been a lot of companies that have reported earnings, not a lot, a handful, but it's starting to pick up steam, and before you know it, it's going to be a couple, 200-300 a day reporting earnings. Right now, it's, 10, 12, 15. But each day is going to pick up steam. So far, so good. We haven't really had any companies, however, that have been impacted by oil prices. I mean, Wells Fargo is not impacted by oil prices or by a strong U.S. dollar, really. J.P. Morgan, another example. Johnson & Johnson, maybe a little bit. But overall, so far, the companies that have reported have come in and they have beat their earnings estimates, and maybe they've guided just a little bit lower or about the same for next year, and those are going to be very important numbers to watch and to update every week. And I'll be updating my S&P 500 earnings forecast and my target price for the S&P 500 every single weekend. That's going to be one of the keys as to when, again, this bull market is finally over and the bear starts to set in. But as of now, that's not happening yet. But we're going to keep our ear to the ground, and we're going to sink our teeth into something tangible. You know, some guy coming on TV and telling me that I should run for cover, that I want to see the tangible reasons for that. And so far, over the last 6 years, their reasons have not held up to the scrutiny that I've gave to them. Their arguments didn't make any sense, because as long as earnings are growing, argue against that, you bears out there. Earnings have been growing for 6 years and you've been bearish. However long you've been bearish for. How can you be bearish when the tide continues to come in. Well, they're contrarians by nature, and they like to swim against the tide. Well, the tide has really taken a toll on them. Being bearish and being out of the market, and even worse, shorting the market over the last several years, has been a fool's game. And has cost their followers a heck of a lot of money. Okay, let's take a look at another one here that's in the news. That's a big name. This is actually one that I own in my income account. When people come to me and say, Bill, I'm really conservative. Well, that account for me is the growth and income account. It can go anywhere. It can go into bonds. I mean, you can derive income from a lot of different places. Mainly, however, you're going to derive income, dividends, from either dividend-paying stocks or from loaning somebody money, bonds, and receiving the coupon rate. And for income right now, I continue to prefer dividend-paying stocks as opposed to bonds that are subject to interest rates right now. I think there's risk there. So my growth and income, I'm getting the growth from the capital appreciation in the stocks, and I'm getting the income from the dividends, and those two add up together for one nice, tidy little pot of money called growth and income. Now, you can do the same thing in the bond market in a falling interest rate environment, right? If interest rates are going down, you're going to get capital appreciation from your bonds, and that's where you'd get the growth side of things. And the income side of things is from the coupon rate that the bonds pay, and those two together add up to growth and income. But my problem is, right now, with the bond market, I don't see the growth side of the equation. I see more risk to your capital than I see potential for capital appreciation. And the tangible reason that I sink my teeth into to come up with this opinion is that interest rates continue to be off the chart on the low side when you look at them historically over the years. And the chances of them going lower are very slim. And the chances of interest rates going up, in my book, seem to be greater than normal right now. And for that reason, I continue in my growth and income account to not own any bonds. I have all dividend paying stocks. One of those stocks is Wells Fargo. You know, Wells Fargo is not going to knock the ball out of the park. It's a very large holding by Mr. Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway. It pays a 2.6% dividend. Wells Fargo reported earnings that were good enough, and Wells Fargo has definitely been a pretty good performer over the years. Over the last 10 years, it hasn't knocked the ball out of the park, but 9% a year, market is 6. Over the last 3 years, Wells Fargo's delivered 21.7% per year. The market's delivered 15.1. And over the last 12 months, Wells Fargo's ahead of the market by about 1.5. Another thing I would say about Wells Fargo is that you go back to 2008 when the banks needed the bailouts. Wells Fargo was actually up in 2008. It didn't need near the help. I don't know that it needed any, really, that the others did. It's a very well-run franchise. In fact, in 2008, Wells Fargo was up that year. It was up 1.7% that year. By contrast, J.P. Morgan, which got into a little bit of trouble in 2008, J.P. Morgan that year was down 25%. Wells Fargo was up almost 2%. So it earned some points in my grading system from a safety point of view. Wells Fargo is not like the greatest stock to own in the entire market right now, but it's good enough, and I do own it in my growth an income account. I believe it still has upside potential, still pays a very good dividend, and it's a very conservative, fairly safe stock at this point in time. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak.
That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I want to talk a little bit more here about the strong dollar and different ways to play a very strong dollar. The way not to play it is by buying U.S. multinational companies that are being hurt by the strong dollar. The way to play it is the other side of the street. If you take a look at the euro right now, you'll see that it continues to be very, very weak. You can look up, I believe it's FXE. Yeah, look at the euro and look at how far it's come down over the last year or so versus the U.S. dollar. That makes their products more competitive on the international markets, on the world, on the global exchanges. And the European markets have European stocks, European companies have an advantage over U.S. companies right now. This is one of the places where I will use an exchange-traded fund. Let me give you an example. There's an exchange-traded fund called the Wisdom Tree European Small Cap Dividend Index. All right. Let's go to the ETF Encyclopedia and see exactly what's in the Wisdom Tree European Small Cap Dividend Index. Drillish, Confinimo, ERG, Holman, Sembra Money Bank, Axis Communications, IREN out of Ireland, Peabody, Kana Kranas out of Sweden, Betsson, Correios de Portugal. Now, these are stocks you're saying, gosh, I watch CNBC, I read Investor's Business Daily, I read the Wall Street Journal, I read Barron's. These are names that I've never heard of. Well, that's because they trade on exchanges, other exchanges. You can't really go on. Now, maybe some of the, I don't know, at least my Scott trade, it's very difficult for me to buy any kind of a size position. And I don't even know if I have access to these crazy exchanges. Now, just for fun, several weeks ago, I put one of these stocks into my Best Stocks Now app. I put in Drillish, DRI, which is a telecom equipment company out of Germany. Drillish trades on the Xetra exchange, Z-X-E-T-R. This is an all-electronic trading system based in Frankfurt, Germany. Launched in 1997 and operated by Deutsche Börse, the extra platform offers increased flexibility for seeing order depth within the markets and offers trading in stocks, funds, bonds, warrants, and commodities contracts. The Xetra system was originally created for use on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, but has expanded to be used by various stock exchanges throughout Europe. Now, let's just take a look at this one stock, Drillish, because if you're going to play the weak euro, small caps, you know, they're a little bit more juiced, a little bit more leveraged. You know, I don't know that they stand to benefit anymore, but I'm sure on the world stage they're able to compete a little bit more because prices due to a weak euro are a little bit more competitive. Drillish over the last 10 years has averaged 30% per year. Over the last 5 years, it's averaged 60% per year. Over the last 3 years, 78% per year. And over the last 12 months, it's up 70%. But it's a very thinly traded stock. In that case, Many times you're better off buying an ETF, an exchange-traded fund that has exposure to stocks like this. To the Confinemos of the world, the MoneySupermarket.com, Loomis, Banca, Valiant Holdings, Micro Focus International, Unipol, Belia. Now, if you're in Europe listening, these companies are familiar to you. But to us over here, we're used to Johnson & Johnson and Home Depot and McDonald's and the like. So if you want to get exposure to these types of stocks, my suggestion is buying an exchange-traded fund or a mutual fund that's able to buy and sell these stocks. A lot of times they trade amongst one another to create liquidity. For the average little guy like us, it's difficult to buy stocks on these more exotic exchanges. That's what I did with India. I bought a Matthews India mutual fund, which is up about 45-50% since I bought it, because I saw it had a bunch of stocks that traded on the Bombay Stock Exchange and other exchanges that I don't have access to. So when people ask me, Bill, do you ever buy ETFs and mutual funds? Yes. And if folks come to me and they've got a couple of larger accounts, they almost inevitably have a few small accounts. Maybe it's a kid's account. Maybe it's a husband's a Roth IRA or a wife's Roth IRA that's maybe only 13 grand in it or whatever. Well, I use exchange-traded funds there to give me maximum exposure and some diversification, because there's no way I can buy 25 or 30 stocks in a $13,000 account. Use some leveraged mutual funds or leveraged ETFs or some ETFs that give you exposure to stocks. Just like when I go out to dinner, if I can make it at home, I'm not really going to order it, you know. I'm going to order something that's difficult to get. Take me a long time to whip up something like that, or for my wife to whip up something like that in the kitchen. Well, it's the same way I look at ETFs and mutual funds, you know. If they offer something that I can't get at home, then there's some value to that. So that's how I use exchange-traded funds. And the areas of the world that are benefiting right now from a strong U.S. dollar mainly are Europe, Japan, and to some extent China, and to some extent India, those four areas of the world. And I've avoided those areas of the world. I've been a U.S. investor for the last several years, but I've been branching out more and more, beginning last year, a year ago, when I branched out into India, and I continue to branch out into other areas of the world right now as they start to pick up and rise in my Best Stock Now app rankings. You can download the Best Stocks Now app. You can go to beststocksnowapp.com and see it all online on a big screen. You don't even need a smartphone. beststocksnowapp.com. And if you would like to get on my weekly newsletter mailing list so you can stay on top of these changes that are going on in the world, pwstreet.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.